Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. The Reverend Jonathan Maynor is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. O Lord, have mercy on us. We who have not seen yet have believed are blessed to proclaim, "Alleluia, Christ is risen."
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Yet our society remains skeptical about this and so much more. Skeptical of others and their intentions. Skeptical of the government. Skeptical even of the institutional church. Skeptical, perhaps in some cases with good reason, especially over the past few years or so. Today we're presented with another skeptic and his words. "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." In Thomas, we hear our own struggles of faith, the demands that we can place on God at times, our insistence that if he would only prove his compassionate care for us, we would believe and trust in him even more. In Thomas, we see the one who refused to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead, even in the midst of the other disciples, the 10 of them, the ones he knew, even in the midst of them, who saw Jesus that night, who bore witness to the resurrection from the dead. They said the same thing together, the same thing that Mary Magdalene had said Easter morning, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas insisted, "The only way I'm going to believe you is if I can put my finger into the marks in his hands and put my hand into his side." To call Thomas a skeptic is probably putting it pretty mildly. He flat out refused to believe that Jesus was alive. He seemed to be struggling with, as we heard yesterday, this faith, our faith, this life of faith, the life that comes from our believing that this man, Jesus, is the Christ of God, the Son of God, our victory over sin and death. Yes, that victory came in his death, and yes, in his resurrection. But right then, for Thomas, from his perspective, he couldn't believe in anything he couldn't see. We might say Thomas was ahead of his time, right? Today's world, people have it in their minds that they can only believe in something they can see. Skeptics abound. Yet as God's creatures, fearfully and wonderfully made, we all have within us this need and drive to believe in something. Luther connected that need and drive to the very first of God's commandments, "You shall have no other God." And in his commentary on the book of Galatians, Luther explained our need to believe in this way. He wrote, "It is inherent in human beings to center their lives around something or someone, and from it seek meaning, security, or identity. The only question that needs to be answered is in what or in whom does a human being place one's trust. Any other option than God the Creator results in idolatry." So while Thomas seemed perhaps ahead of his time in insisting that he had to see Jesus to believe, he was really determining for himself what or who was worthy of his trust. And while at times we may have that same attitude of thinking we need to see something in order to believe it's true, the scriptures are clear. The scriptures presuppose that faith is based precisely on what we cannot see. In the book of Hebrews, faith is defined in that very way. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then this morning we hear Jesus' words, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And then John goes on to tell us that this narrative of Jesus' life, including the accounts of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances, are written, why? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Written that you may believe. Written that you might understand that God, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, is gracious to you, even when you do struggle with self-determined requirements for faith. In fact, Thomas would see Jesus. He would be invited. He'd be graciously invited to put his finger into the holes in Jesus' hands and put his hand into the hole in Jesus' side. Hearing these words and then seeing, Thomas would fall down at Jesus' feet and cry out, "My Lord and my God." And we may marvel at the reality that Jesus did not reprimand Thomas, but instead gave him exactly what he needed to believe in his resurrection from the dead. And that's what God continues to do for you as well. No matter the struggles you battle, the burdens you bear, the hardships you encounter, the skepticism that threatens to creep in and cause you to doubt or pull away, Jesus comes and stands right in the middle of your struggles and burdens and hardships and skepticism, right in the middle of your life, and he says to you today, "Peace be with you." No, you can't physically see the risen Lord this side of heaven, but you can know his love and care, his compassion and his mercy as you read and study his word that he's given to you. No, you may not be able to put your fingers in the nail holes in his side, but you know he is physically present with you to forgive you and strengthen you in his very body and blood at his holy meal. And just like the disciples, you can't believe in your Lord and Savior on your own. You need help, and so do I. So again, God gives us exactly what we need, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Living and active, working in our lives, working through the word and sacraments, creating and sustaining our faith. All this we know and trust, because these things were written that you may believe. Written that you would know the reality of Good Friday, where your sins were fully paid. Written that you would know the truth and the power of the resurrection, the life and salvation that is yours as the Holy Spirit strengthens you to believe and trust in Jesus. For that gift of forgiveness and eternal life that he gives to you. Yes, these things are written that you may believe and continue to be strengthened to proclaim, "Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen."
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel. KFUO Radio Share-a-thon is April 27th, 28th, and 29th. It's your opportunity to join us, to partner in proclaiming the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. Join us April 27th, 28th, and 29th on the air or online at kfuo.org.